Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Thanksgiving Thursday morning. Happy Thanksgiving to all you guys out there. Thanks for joining us wherever it is you get podcasts from. And, of course, at supertalk.fm. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville. Or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It'd be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Tyro.
That'd be a little weird.
Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's only a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. Today is the day of the turkey, but every other day can be for the cow. And, of course, we will now be entering the Christmas season where, you know what I'm going to say, beef, it's what's for Christmas. If you're going to be cooking out this weekend, enjoying college football this final regular season weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. Hopefully you'll make beef the star of the show this weekend. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. Beat the Clock is happening tomorrow. Tomorrow at College Corner. Get there early to save at the two locations in the Jackson area, Ridgeland and Fleet Feet. By Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell. If you're in Oxford, you can certainly go by the Oxford College Corner on Sisk Avenue. They will be the specials get better as the earlier you get there. So get up early. It's Black Friday. Get out. Get yourself some great deals at College Corner. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need to be able to get answers. You need to talk to a banker that has a relationship with you, not just your money. You need to talk to the good people at Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Happy Thanksgiving, Robbie Falk. I hope that everything is going to be good over there. We made some people laugh today, yesterday with our discussion of fixins.
Yeah, fixins. I can't wait for my fixins.
I'm excited about my fixins today. And I hope everybody out there is having a great Thanksgiving. If you're listening to us while you're getting the turkey prepped, we are happy to be with you. A little later in the show, Michael Borky joins us. This is an interview that I made originally for my my pregame show that you hear on WLZA here in Starkville, but we'll bring it here as well in case you missed that. Robbie, as you know, I'm an old man. Coming up, we're just a few days away from a half century of Hey Dad. I love old school college football. I am a 3 yards in a cloud of dust aficionado, you might say. This is a very old school game to me from a Mississippi State perspective in that for State to win, the two things they have to do are run the ball and stop the run. And you don't hear that as much as you used to back in the old days, back when old Brian was a young man. But it is what it is today. And if State can do those two things, they can absolutely win this football game. My problem here, Robbie, is I don't believe that they can do those two things.
Yeah, but it's the Egg Bowl, man.
It is.
I don't get the defeatist attitude by a lot of people in this game. And yeah. And listen, if I had to pick right now, I'd probably pick Ole Miss.
Yeah.
But
I'm not
the
picking
idea
a
that like State's
threat.
Just going to get destroyed in this game, I just don't understand. We've seen this every year. Everybody talks about State's going to get blown out. Lane Kiffin's going to run up the score. They're going to score 50. Mm-hmm. But State plays above their head, it seems like, in this game every year. And so, the numbers on paper doesn't look good, what State does defensively against the run and what they do running the football. But things tend to shift a little bit in this game. You tend to play with a little more of an edge. I could see them playing better, but you're right. I mean, it's not a game that favors Mississippi State on paper, especially when you just gave up 300 yards rushing to a running back. Mm. With 2 weeks, hopefully Coleman Hutzler could come up with something that's going to be able to at least slow down Ole Miss. But if you do that, I think State's got a really good shot in this ball game. You just got to be able to get around the football and tackle. And that's something they did not do against Ahmad Hardy very well. And you're facing a running back in Kiwon Lacy that's been, a lot like Hardy in that he's a good yards after contact guy and he's an explosive play guy. State's going to have to wrap him up and bring him to the ground. And then on the offensive side of the ball, you're going to have a huge first half from Fluff Bothwell to establish the run because you don't have Devon Booth. So there, it is. It really does feel like State's going to have to establish the run, and they're going to have to defend the run really well, which is kind of it seems like a hallmark of football. If you can run the football and you can stop the run, most of the time you're going to have a good shot of winning. And that's kind of what's presented to Mississippi State this week.
What do you think State has the better chance to do? Run the football successfully or slow down Ole Miss's running game?
I'd say probably run the ball. You are going to have Albert Reese out there, and you've been a better running team with Albert Reese. I know we're going to talk about Kamario Taylor, what that looks like if he's in the ball game. And Ole Miss's defense isn't what it was last year. It's a good defense. They're well coached. They got good players, but it isn't what it was last year. So I think there's a better chance of State being able to run the football than it is being able to slow down what they do offensively.
I tend to agree with that. I think State has had some success offensively this year. Defensively, especially in the run game, they have not had very much success. It's kind of interesting. State is the worst statistical rush defense in the conference. They have played five of the top six rushing offenses in the conferences. So they've played everybody who, I don't know if that's a chicken or egg thing. Are those teams ranked that high because they've played State, or are they a State ranked that low because they've played these really good running teams? I don't know the answer. By the way, the team they haven't played is Ole Miss. They will play them. So they will hit all of the top six rushing offense teams in this conference.
I think it is. I think when you look at who Ole Miss has played, I think a lot of their numbers are propped up by the people that they've played, and a lot of Mississippi State's numbers are hindered by the teams that they've played because it has been bad matchups all year long for the most part. They've played teams that a lot of teams that have really good offensive lines and that can establish the run game, and it's just been kind of the stars aligned for Ole Miss schedule-wise and the worst happened for Mississippi State schedule-wise. That's just kind of how it's worked out.
Yeah, and it is what it is. There's nothing you can do about it at this point. Well, you mentioned the Devon Booth thing, announced on the availability report, going to be suspended for the first half. All right, maybe a controversial take here. I don't have a problem with suspending Devon Booth. I want to make that one clear. There are rules. You have to have discipline within your program. That's what got Joe Moorhead run out the door. But I'm trying to figure out what he did that was so bad that we have to suspend him for one game or for one half, but not the full game.
Yeah, that is.
That's just a weird, that's almost like, well, we have to do something, but we want him to play. It's weird. It's just weird to me.
It is weird. The half suspension is what's really strange.
Right.
And at the end of the day, who people should be mad at is Devon Booth.
Right.
Whatever he did shouldn't be happening for a fifth-year senior. If you've gotten suspended in your final regular season game and potentially your final college game, if you've gotten suspended, you've done something egregious enough that Jeff Lebby's made that call because he has not really been a big suspension guy. So,
And that might be a positive thing. It might be he hasn't had to be a big suspension guy because he has good discipline on his football team.
which, I don't know. On the field, it's not very
On the field, they
disciplined,
don't
but,
have good discipline. Yeah.
I don't really understand it. But at the same time, I can't really fault Jeff Lebby either because
Right.
you do have to set a standard here. And I know people are upset about it and it happening when it is, but you can't bend the rules for someone like that just because they're a senior and it's senior day and all that, and one of your better running backs. You can't bend the rules because once you do that, you really lose your football team because people start pointing fingers. I heard about this stuff with Nikki McCray-Pinson when she was here. God rest your soul. But there were some players that were being treated differently than other players on that team. And it really kind of folded that team up because they didn't have the same standard player to player, and they felt like you're playing favorites. You can't do that in a
Yeah,
program. And
agreed.
I know a lot of people were arguing against it and they didn't like it, but if you've ever been inside a program like that, when you do stuff like that, that's how you continue, that's how you crumble from within. And the argument's going to be, well, they're crumbling from within either anyway because they're not winning games. I get that. But from a culture standpoint and what you're trying to do here, if you're Jeff Lebby and you're trying to build a strong locker room and you have standards for your team, you cannot deviate from that. You have to keep it what it is. I don't know what Devon Booth did. It's obviously extreme enough that Jeff Lebby felt like he needs to sit for 2 games. And maybe it's a academic thing. I don't know. I have no clue. But it is kind of strange that it's a half.
That's the thing that gets, yeah. Like I said, I don't have a problem. If you said Devon Booth is suspended for this game, that sucks, but he obviously did something. He's suspended for a half.
Yeah.
What is, I would love to know the answer to that.
Yeah,
We don't know either.
just like we say all the time, like there's nuance in conversation. Like that is definitely a nuanced conversation.
Right.
Devon Booth should be blamed for getting himself suspended.
Right.
And at the same time, it's strange that he's suspended for a half
Right.
in the final regular season game, a game that you have to win to be bowl eligible. But maybe Jeff Lebby thought it wasn't extreme enough to warrant him completely being left out for a full game. And maybe it was extreme enough that he felt like he needed some form of discipline outside of just running gashers or whatever.
Right.
So I don't know. It
Don't
it's strange, but it is what it is. You're going to have a big half from Fluff Bothwell and probably Xavier Gayton too. He's going to have to come in,
Yeah.
and they need to. To me, they need to continue to feed the running backs because I feel like there's no rhythm with these guys. Devon Booth had like 9 carries. I mean, Flip Bothwell had like 9 carries against Missouri, and they're kind of scattered, and you don't allow these guys to get any kind of rhythm in the run game. And maybe that falls in the quarterback with the read stuff that he's having, but it's like we talked about, like call it design run play. We're going to hand the ball off right here. We're going to stretch it out with Booth or Bothwell. We're going to run dive, whatever. Call a run play. Get them involved in the game because that's the strength of your team.
I look at this. The run thing has just bothered me all year. And honestly, it's been bothering me since Joe Moorhead. I'm just so tired of RPOs at this point. Sometimes I just hey, it's a dive. We're running a dive here, guys. We're running a counter.
I
Okay.
literally just said
I
that.
know,
I
but I'm
literally
trying
just.
to. I heard you say it.
Yeah, you didn't. You were looking at your computer, and when I stopped, you waited 5 seconds, and then here you go.
I try to formulate my thoughts sometimes. It
I,
just
th 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 this is the trigger. Trigger warning. Trigger warning.
You're triggering yourself, all right? I heard what you said. Let's talk about the Kamario Taylor situation. There's just a lot of smoke right this second that he's going to make a change. That Kamario Taylor is going to be the starting quarterback for this game, or if maybe not start, but play the majority of the game. I'm going to say this now. I'm going to go on the record. I'll be shocked. I will be shocked if that happens. He is back shaping to this point in the season. Chapin's been his guy since day one. Taylor has played well enough to have earned a start prior to this, and he has not gotten one. It's on senior day. I will be flabbergasted if Kamario Taylor is the starting quarterback for this game. I want that on the record. If it happens, pleasant surprise, but I don't believe it will.
Well, we talked about the parallels to 2009 and that possibility, and it was kind of some of the same things happening in 2009. I mean, Tyson Lee was a senior and a guy that Dan Mullen leaned on a lot, and in that Egg Bowl, he kind of let Chris Ralph loose. I realized the kind of wait and see mentality that a lot of people have on it, but there is a lot of smoke. Too. So, I mean, I don't know. I feel like you're going to see both.
Oh, you
I
definitely
think
see both.
that's probably the answer. It's not going to be like it has been in recent weeks. So against Missouri, they did roll with Kamario more than usual. And so that I think that's probably we're probably going to see more reps for Kamario. I don't know if they'll fully go with Kamario, but if I had to guess, they'll probably start the first possession with Chapin.
Which has been
And
successful this year. State has been a great opening drive team. The opening drive against Georgia was fantastic.
yeah, so I think they'll probably start with Chapin, and then we'll start to see Kamario mixed in a lot more than usual.
What I want to see if you're going to go that route, Robbie, is this. If Kamario's having success, just roll with it. You don't have to if you let's say you bring Kamario out there and he scores a touchdown. Next drive, they move the ball a good bit, but third and whatever, they drop a pass. You don't have to make the change back to Chapin. You can say, like, let's ride this as long as we can. And you mentioned the 09 thing. That's what Mullen did in that game. He Ralph was having success. He was moving the football. They're like, let's just see where this takes us, and end up taking him to a win. That's what I want to see. Just you don't have to if you decide to change, you aren't required to go back. If Kamario Taylor is having success, just roll with it. Don't upset the apple cart. By that same token, if Chapin comes out first drive and he scores a touchdown, and then second drive can do the same, and it's State's got 14 points on the board in the first quarter, don't change. Stick with what's working. I say it all the time that coaches like to get away from things sometimes that are working. I want State to stick to what's working in this game.
yeah, I'd be interested to see what they do. Like, if the plan has been to play Kamario and Chapin scores on the first drive, and they just say, we're just going to roll with this. It is an interesting topic. I don't know what's going to happen. I've
Yeah.
heard enough this week to believe
As have I.
one way. And then, but I totally get the thought process of we'll believe it if. Whenever we see it, because it just hasn't happened at this point. But also, I think that the Kamario thing really came to a head in the Missouri game. I know it's been a topic for a while, but it was really, really present in that Missouri game.
Because Chapin played so poorly in that game. He threw two
Chapin was
interceptions.
poorly, and also Kamario, when he was in there, you're moving the football and all that. And then the backlash after the game, I just feel like. That it could be explained to me that this was the time that Lebby finally just said, you know what, I think it's time. He's held out as long as possible, but he realizes this is probably his best chance to win this ball game.
It is his best chance to win this ball game. There's no
Feels
question
that way.
about that for me.
It
But
feels that way for
I'll
sure.
be very I'm just going to be surprised, Robbie, if I would rank my surprise levels. Starting quarterback would be complete surprise. Like if he's announced on the Jumbotron,
That would be
I'll be
shocked.
amazed. All right. Now, there's another level. They announced Chapin, but Kamario starts the game. It's not illegal to do that. You can certainly do that. That would be another level. And then you have shaping it's the first drive, and then Kamario takes over. My problem is this, like you just mentioned, State's been so good on the first drive this year. They tend to score on those first drives. And so, I mean, have you told Chapin this? I don't know how this is gonna work. I just don't know. And like I said, that's why I'll be surprised if it happens. Kamario will certainly play. He might play a good bit. But to the idea that he's just going to get this game, I'm not going to buy that until I see. Much like the Kiffin stuff, I'll buy it once it's for sale. All right, I'm going to wait.
First play of the game, Kamario at wide receiver, Blake Chapin at quarterback. Kamario
Double
goes in
pass.
motion. They hand the ball off to Kamario, and he throws a 60-yard bomb.
I mean, you can. I'll take it. I'll take it right now if I can get it. So. We shall see. State has to, yeah, the line of scrimmage for Mississippi State. Huge, huge today. And people are going to mention, well, what about pass protection? I mean, we're in the 11th. This is the 12th game of the season. This team can't
Yeah.
protect the quarterback. I just accept that at this point. And so it becomes about, okay, we have to, the way to protect the quarterback is to run the football and get those guys, looking for run so that when we want to pass, they're not just in, they're not, their first thought isn't pressure Blake Shapen. Their first thought is we got to stop Fluff Bothwell.
That is why you play Kamaria.
You
I mean,
preach to
I
the
like
choir, sir. I know you're a
again,
deacon
I
now.
feel like we're like the horse is flattened. The horse, the every
There's nothing
bone
left to
and
give.
every bone and muscle in the body is
It's
completely
already
flat to the
glue.
ground.
It's already
Yes.
glue and dog food, all right?
Correct.
Horse doesn't exist anymore.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, this is not so much a Blake Shapen problem as it is the offensive line. So when you have an offensive line deficiency, they struggle to block. Why not add another layer to your offense with a guy that can move the pocket, that can get it, escape the pass rush, and that can also help you in the run game the way that Kamario does? He moves the pile. He has some speed to him too. When you get him one-on-one down the field with a defensive back, I'm going to take my chances with him running over the defensive back for more
Yes.
yardage. There's so much more you can do with Kamario Taylor. It's not a shot at Blake Shapen. It's not, we're not, you and I don't believe that Blake Shapen is a terrible quarterback. There's a lot of people in this fan base that believe that. I don't believe that. I really don't. I think that he's perfectly capable of running this offense. The issue is you don't have the line to
Right.
allow him to do what he does best.
If I could
And
get
when
Charles
there's,
Cross and Elgton Jenkins out there in front of him,
yeah.
he would be a lot better.
I mean, I think people's opinions would change on Blake Shapen if they had an offensive line that could hold up.
Yes,
Because
agreed.
they're the all these big plays that this offense brings, those big shots down the field to Brennan Thompson and Anthony Evans, those take more than 2.5, 3 seconds. And he can't escape the pocket to allow that play to develop. He holds on to the ball a little too long because he's trying to allow that play to develop. And then most of the time he's just sacked, or he has to dump it off, or he has to get rid of it quickly. Those plays don't happen enough in the ball game because he doesn't have the time. So with that in mind, you have a quarterback that allows you that.
It feels like an easy fix, doesn't it? But that's where we are. All right. Let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the Cotton District. And of course, the Older Brother. Two great places for you to go on Friday after the game. Hopefully, a victory celebration. But if not, a great place to drown your sorrows whenever you're in Starkville. A trip to the Cotton District, a trip to Two Brothers Smoked Meats or the Older Brother. Always a fantastic idea. If you want to eat great food, not good food, great food. That's the place to go. Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the Older Brother. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing for 50 years. Let
It
me see what I've got here. Do I see? Well, I guess when you put it right up there. Yeah, see that thing. Good Lord. Ah, look at that.
nothing wrong with that.
Bony. It's a bony finger.
Well, it's not stubby like yours.
Oh. Anyway, I'll let you say that.
Talking about fair play, my friend.
I guess. Well, what's also fair play is getting a great deal at Advantage Business Systems on the new copier, printer, computers, laptops, whatever it is that you need there. And what also is fair play is knowing that if something goes wrong, help is a phone call away, a 601 number away from getting it serviced and getting it taken care of the same day because they're in Mississippi just like you. 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. All right, we talked about it yesterday that we've got great deals happening at Maroon & Co. on Black Friday. Similar situation, a beat the clock. Open at 8 a.m., first 30 minutes, 40% off. After that, 8:30 to 9, 30% off. And then the rest of the day, 20% off. That excludes TurtleBox, Yeti coolers, Wash Bottomland, Fan Can, and Panoramas. So, and they will be closed during the game. So from 11 a.m. to whenever the game finishes, no shopping at Marine Co. But head in before and head in after if you want to save money. They're also going to be open on Saturday from 10 to 7, and it's going to be 20% off all day long. Same exclusions do apply. Cyber Sunday and Monday coming up as well. 30% off online, but you cannot combine that with our Thunder 15 code. Now on and the same thing goes for the as those 40% off. So Thunder 15, don't worry about it on Black Friday, Cyber Sunday, and Monday. But they can, everything else is good to go. Check it out, Maroon & Co. and MaroonandCo.com. this weekend. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden is the place to find just about everything you need for your Christmas shopping. Whatever it is you do, whatever it is you enjoy, Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden has something that makes it better. And if you're a person whose obsession is your lawn, you want to get some John Deere green working for you, get it at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden. Great deals available, great financing available on all John Deere products, Gators, commercial tractors, and the mowers as well. Whatever it is you're looking for, they've got it in Saltillo at Scruggs Farm, Lawn, and Garden. If you are a landowner in this state, whether it's 100 acres or a few thousand, Good Hope Land and Timber is the place to know. Whether you're looking to buy or sell land or simply maintain the land you already have, Good Hope Land and Timber has a fully trained and experienced staff ready to help you. All across the state of Mississippi, you got landowners who are trying to manage things, and maybe they need a little bit of help. That's where Good Hope Land and Timber comes in. So no matter what the issue is with your land, Good Hope Land and Timber can help you get it going the way you want it to look. Locally trusted, landowner approved. That's Good Hope Land and Timber. All right, earlier this week, I talked to Michael Borky. You might know him from Sports Talk Mississippi and, of course, the Rebel Report podcast available on Super Talk. Got his thoughts not only on the Egg Bowl, but we have to talk a little bit about Lane Kiffin and what's going on up there in Oxford. All interviews here on the podcast are brought to you by Allura Modern Wellness. You know, the holidays, that's a time where maybe, you go a little too hard. There's two sides to that. Maybe you're somebody who's like, look, I am eating like a pig this holiday season. I'm working out extra hard to try to counteract that. Or maybe it's just one of those things where like, hey, I partied a little too much and I'm feeling a little, I need to get some recovery. Allura Modern Wellness is the name to know. Services that are all over the place. And I'm telling you, whatever it is that makes you feel better, Allura Modern Wellness has a service that offers it. Give them a call today at 662-268-9255 or check out their website, AlluraModernWellness.com. You can book your services right there online. Get yourself feeling better at Allura Modern Wellness. Let's go now to my interview with Michael Borky. You know him, you love him. Sports Talk Mississippi, my co-host Michael Borky. Also the host of the Rebel Report on Sports Talk on Super Talk Mississippi, your premium source for Ole Miss news, plus one hell of a nice guy. I'll say that even on Egg Bowl Friday, Michael Borky. Welcome to the show.
It's good to be here, and I don't know if the you love him part is true, but I'll take the compliments where they come.
I offered you a seat at the Thanksgiving table.
You did.
At my house, and you turned me down.
So. Yeah, but it's not because I didn't want to.
I got you.
Logistically right. Impossible.
Well, it is what it is. Speaking of logistics, are there going to be logistics in play in Ole Miss? Are they going to have to find, move some guys in, move some guys out? What's the latest from your end on the Lane Kiffin situation?
Oh, gosh. But I mean, by the time this airs, it could be five different things.
Yeah.
I truly believe that there's a have your cake and want to eat it too situation going on. Mm-hmm. And maybe the emotions of the Egg Bowl, this is the problem that LSU and Florida, I think, are up against right now. And this is what could play into Ole Miss's favor if they want to retain Lane Kiffin is right now he's obviously very clearly and very publicly entertaining offers from LSU and Florida. That is, I mean, abundantly clear. There are still some true believers that deny that it's all they deny it and think it's all media creation. It's not. It's happening. But until something is firmly signed, knowing also how Lane Kiffin is, he's a little bit of a interesting guy. We'll put it that way.
We can go there, sure.
Who's to say that if Ole Miss wins this game, he looks around and is like, "Wait a minute, what am I doing? This team just won 11 games." Why am I doing this? And makes like an in real time, quote unquote, emotional decision to stick around. LSU and Florida, they can't really afford to have that happen, can they?
Right.
So this concept that Ole Miss is pushing for a decision, I think they are, but I think the other two are also. The concept that LSU is willing to wait through the playoffs before they get an answer, not true. Mm-hmm. They're willing to wait through the playoffs to welcome him to their campus. But they're not going to let this hang without knowing for sure one way or another because of the emotional side of it. He could make an emotional decision like, what am I doing? What happens if they win the first playoff game? And he really looks at it like,
you and I are on the same page with this. 100%. This is, and I've talked about this. Like, I'll go a step further. Kemp is on the spectrum. We'll just call it what it is. And he could very easily have told LSU, yeah, I'm coming, no problem. And then wake up Saturday morning after beating Mississippi State and say, change my mind. All right.
Yeah.
I deal with this on the on a daily basis. I know how it works. So I'm not gonna, until he either one way or the other, I'm not gonna buy into anything. And
Yeah.
I'm just gonna assume he's gonna come back. Let's talk about the game itself. How big of a distraction is this for this Ole Miss football team? Because it feels like they should be 100% locked in. We win, we're in, that's it. Embarrass your in-state rival and go to the playoff. And it doesn't feel like that's where they are mentally.
They have navigated distractions and adversity well this season, but this is different. When Florida came open right before the Oklahoma game, and he addressed it with the team for the first time he's ever really done that, they managed that well. But there was no reality yet to I'm entertaining other jobs. It was just, hey, this is out there. My name's being linked to it. Lock in, play well. And they played well. And they've overcome some in-game adversity as well, and they've won these games. They put themselves in this position, but the last week and a half leading into this game has been different. Regardless of what he says in a press conference, there is some number of players that are frustrated. I mean, there's even been some rumor. I don't know if it's true or not. I think it is that he has been confronted by players in one way or another about how this has gone down and how it's being handled. I've been told that there's been some very well established frustration from players in positions of leadership going into this game. Last week, practices didn't go as well as they usually do, especially for a team in the position that they're in. They are distracted. That doesn't mean they can't lock in and play well and win this game. But this is different than the previous weeks. So just chalking it up to, well, they've played well to this point, that they have, that's true, but this has been different. For an Ole Miss fan, you hope that they are able to really recognize the opportunity that they have in front of themselves and realize it doesn't matter what Lane Kiffin does after this because, you know, forget the Egg Bowl, the emotional part of the rivalry. Win this game, and my team's hosting a playoff game, and I can't let other stuff infiltrate how we approach this. So you hope that that is the case. I do know that they have some really strong leadership in the locker room. Even though it's a team built on the portal, you have some veterans in there that apparently are really handling all of this well from a player perspective. We'll see if that happens actually on the field. But yeah, this is different.
I think what if you said, why are you predicting Ole Miss to win? And spoiler, I am. It's because the two things Ole Miss does really well are the two things Mississippi State has trouble with. Ole Miss can run the football and they can get after the quarterback. And that concerns me from a Mississippi State perspective. For what Mississippi State does well, what concerns you from an Ole Miss perspective?
It's the obvious. It's the secondary. Ole Miss's secondary is a concern. It's been a problem all season long. I mean, Georgia absolutely torched them. I mean, even John Mattier didn't have a horrendous day against that defense. And frankly, he's kind of been really underwhelming overall. Lagway in the first half, anyway, in the Florida game, had plenty of opportunities, and he capitalized on a few of them to make Ole Miss pay. Lenora Sellers got sacked a bunch, but there were a lot of open receivers. He did complete one long touchdown pass, and that's the issue, is Ole Miss has given up big plays in the back end of their defense. They're not super talented anyway, but they also blow assignments all the time in the back end of their defense. When they're not able to get pressure on the quarterback, that is where they can get beat. Luckily for them, they've done a much better job at getting after the quarterback lately. And as a result, they haven't been able to get punished in the way that they should have, especially in the South Carolina game, because they just got after Sellers all night long. But that's the weakness. That's the area where Mississippi State can make this a game, is if they can protect Chapin slash Taylor and allow them opportunities to throw the football vertically. Those chances will, and I don't mean I think they will, I mean they will be there if Mississippi State can protect and capitalize.
Big if, though, obviously, for Mississippi State. All right, you know the drill here on this. We do the X factor. This the guy we think will not necessarily gonna have massive stats. Somebody who could just come out of nowhere, make a big play, and that's a deciding factor in this game. Who would that be for Ole Miss?
Ooh, that's a good question.
All right, I just want to point out, I'm 12 for 12. Every person I asked that question hit me with, "That's a good question."
The X factor in this game, I'll give you two. Offensively, it's Dequan Wright. And that's kind of a cop out because he's had a really nice season.
Yes.
But I don't think the college football world appreciates just how good Dequan Wright has been for Ole Miss, both blocking and also catching the football. And Mississippi State, if they're going to struggle stopping the run, if they're going to have to load the box to try to stop the run, then they get so creative with tight end stuff in this offense. And so if you're already having to play downhill and load the box, he's going to create so many mismatches. And he doesn't drop the football. He gets open, and for his size, he's really fast. And when Trinidad puts it on him, he catches the ball. So Dequan Wright is a guy that is always poised for a big game, but especially in this one, if State is having to sell out to stop the run, then they're going to slip him out in so many different ways. And he is so sure-handed, that'll be him. And then on the other side, it's Andrew Jones, a guy that did not play much for Ole Miss in the first few weeks of the season. But in the fourth quarter against Georgia at linebacker, he came in and finally was able to match the physicality of Georgia. And he made a lot of plays. And the more he plays, the better he's been, and the better Ole Miss has been stopping the run. And so for Mississippi State, I know it's a score from far type offense. They've got these two elite receivers, but a guy like Andrew Jones is going to be the difference between, I think, Mississippi State having success on the ground and not. I mean, he's been very good lately. And so that's a guy who's Ole Miss fans don't really know because this is his first year with the program anyway, and he didn't play the first 6, 7 weeks of the season, but he is
How many?
excellent stopping the run. But he's excellent stopping the run. And so if State can't get the ground game going because of a guy like him, then it very well could be a long day. So those are your two.
All right, we got 60 seconds left. Saturday morning, where is Lane Kiffin coaching?
LSU. If I had
Win or
to,
lose?
I don't know for sure. I mean,
It's just a prediction.
I think it'll leak before then.
Okay. Well, it's probably not too far ahead of
I
that
think,
because
I
this show
don't
is
know. I
pre-recorded.
think that's all it is, but
Yeah.
that would be
I could
Oh.
see a late after the Egg Bowl Friday news dump. We could see that.
But part of me thinks that you might get something during the game like you did with Kentucky A&M and Mark Stoops and Ross Bjork.
If that happens, State's got to put that tweet on the Jumbotron. You'd be like, look at this. We shall see. All right, Sports Talk Mississippi. Don't forget, Michael, we're on the air right now, but we're on the air right now at Sports Talk Mississippi across the state on Super Talk. And of course, don't ever miss a show with us every day, 3 to 6. Thank you, Michael. I'll talk to you
Of
later
course.
today.
Yes, sir.
All right, thanks to Borky. Don't forget, Michael and I will be live on Friday early morning. No politics on Friday morning. A far more contentious topic, the Egg Bowl, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. on all your
Ooh.
Super Talk. I know. On all your Super Talk affiliates, the Super Talk app, we will be live with all of the pregame that you need to get you ready for the battle for the Golden Egg. Tomorrow's podcast, you know what it is, the three P's for probably maybe the last time this season, maybe not. We'll find out together. Talk to you guys on Friday. Hope you have a great Thanksgiving. Enjoy your turkey. Enjoy your fixins', and we'll be back with
East.
you. Every time you say it, it makes me laugh. Like I say it and I just say it, but when you say it, it's really funny. I don't
A
know why.
lot of fixings.
I know we're gonna have all them fixins'. Enjoy your fixins'. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Happy Thanksgiving. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk from Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.